So this is sound roll 65, camera roll 136, Fight in the Fields. We're interviewing Daryl Arnold in Desert Palm, and Palm Desert, and it's 126.95.
Take one, marker.
Daryl Arnold, interview. Mr. Arnold, let's start off right around 1970. What did you and the Salinas growers think about when you saw what was happening with the grape boycott and the coming grape contracts? Do you think you were the next target?
Oh, no, absolutely not. No, certainly we're not the next target, in my estimation. But obviously the grape boycott scared the heck out of the farmers, all of us.
Well, let me put it this way. If you didn't think you were the next target, then why did the Salinas growers make such a quick deal with the Deemsters in 1970?
Well, I think they saw what was going on. They didn't think of the next target, but they were trying to bypass.
Cut for a second. We're not going to use my questions in the interval. So when I say, why did the Salinas growers sign Deemsters, I need to say fresh pictures of the Salinas growers.
Next is Daryl Arnold. Take two.
Roll.
And rolling. This is take two. Marker.
Arnold. So why did the Salinas growers sign with the Deemsters in 70?
Well, the Salinas growers saw what was happening, the grape boycott.
Oh, Matthew wasn't there. Okay, go ahead.
The Salinas growers saw what was happening in the grape boycott. They had been dealing in their sheds and packing houses with the Teamsters Union, and they thought if they could sign a contract with the Teamsters Union, it would forestall Caesar trying to come in and taking over that industry.
Now, what happened was everyone signed with the Teamsters, farm workers came to town. And then something happened in Fresh Pick that you worked for changed your mind. Why did you change and end up with the farm workers?
Well, the Fresh Pick Foods, and as you know, I was not the president of Fresh Pick, Howard Leach was. So I was down in the South at that time. But they felt the Teamsters were the best organization to represent the farm workers in the area. The problem was that Caesar decided that he was going to take on the Teamsters Union because they'd signed the lettuce contracts and felt that the farm workers were theirs. So consequently, he threatened a secondary boycott against United Fruit, which was Chiquita, and against Purex, bleaches and all. Well, 10% of Purex was only agriculture, and they were not going to take a secondary boycott against all of their products to protect the 10% of agriculture. So at that point in time, even though they'd signed a contract, they asked to get out of the contract with the Teamsters Union along with the United and negotiate a contract with United Farm Workers.
And when Interharvest and Fresh Pick broke ranks, as it were, with the Salinas growers, you got a response from the other growers, didn't you?
No, terrible response, absolutely. They were picketing, the other organizations were picketing Interharvest and Fresh Pick when they finally signed the contract.
I need something that says, like, the other growers were picketing Fresh Pick, because we don't know who the they is.
Oh.
Let's start over again. What kind of response did the other growers give you?
Well, the other growers, actually the other shippers and packers, were terribly negative against the contract that Fresh Pick and Interharvest signed. Of course, at that time, as you know, the two heads of Interharvest and the two heads of Fresh Pick, myself and Howard Leach, all resigned because it was a contract that we felt agriculture could not live with, and part of the prerequisites was that we would stay as long as agriculture could live with the contract, but if they signed a contract just to protect against a secondary boycott, that we would not participate.
You've just felt that farm workers were too restrictive, or did you know what a UFW contract would be like?
Oh, no. That was after. This happened after we signed the contract. The contract was already negotiated and signed, and it was our opinion, the rest of agriculture, and proved to be true, that agriculture couldn't live with the contracts.
Now, during that period, the Teamsters were there in the fields, and the Teamsters were there with some muscles. Describe the situation. It was violent, wasn't it?
Oh, well, I don't think it ever got to be violent, except the goon squad. The Teamsters had a goon squad in there. And also the United Farm Workers had a goon squad in there facing up against each other, and yes, it could be violent.
Now, when you said you... I'm sorry. What's
that?
Oh, it's a weed eater. Weed whack.
Next up is Daryl Arnold, take 3.
They were going to put a secondary boycott on them, and they knew.
So I know they actually started a Chiquita boycott. Did they actually start a Purex boycott?
Yes.
And Roland?
This is take 3, Marker.
Let's go back to this period. There it goes again. Cut.
Okay.
Here it comes. he's saying, okay, let's go.
Totally.
Yeah.
Is he still alive?
I hear he's retired, but he's alive, yeah.
Is he?
I've been trying to
this
find
is take
him.
4, Marker.
I want to go back to 70 when the decision was made to sign with the Teamsters. Did you think at that time that farm workers should be unionized?
I certainly was not a pro-unionization of farm workers, but certainly was not the anti-unionization of farm workers. So I was kind of neutral at that point in time.
But, you know, responding to the situation, it seemed like you could...
Well, obviously...
Come in 77?
Obviously, when you had a choice between the United Farm Workers and a union that you had worked with previously, whether it be the AFL-CIO or the Teamsters, you're going to choose people that had negotiated and worked with before. And that's what I'm sure the growers in Salinas did.
Now, the farm workers called those contracts sweetheart contracts. That is, they said the Teamsters didn't represent the workers. Was that an issue?
Oh, that was what was the contention. That was the easiest contention. Probably the best thing ever happened to the farm workers was a fight between the Teamsters Union and the United Farm Workers, as each one of them tried to outdo the other one by get a better contract, and the growers were caught in the middle, so in order to stay non-union, they had to beat them both. So from the farm workers' standpoint, the best thing ever happened to them was having the fight between the two unions, in my estimation, for the farm workers.
Now let's switch gears a little bit. You dealt with Chavez, you met him a few times, and you certainly had some ideas about him. Give me some reflections on him and what kind of person he was.
Cesar Chavez, I think he was somewhat of a used individual. In my estimation, is the standpoint that Cesar really wanted a trade union, I think. I think he also was on the social side of it too, but Dolores Huerta and the group on the other side had no desire to become a trade union. They had the social movement in tow, and I think the chief negotiator, Jerry Cohen, he was getting paid by United Auto Workers, and he certainly wanted a trade union. He was working to become a union, but I think Cesar was caught between the two elements, those that wanted a social movement, those, when they signed a contract, tried to take over the companies and not help the companies that signed the contract. So I think Cesar was kind of, I wish Cesar were alive today and where he could reflect back and answer that question himself.
But I mean, you looked at what happened at Fresh Pick once there was a contract. What happened under a UFW contract?
Oh, it was horrible. Under the United Farm Workers, after the contract was signed, for instance, I went into the field right afterward, and there were UFW flags all over the place and team's flag. I ordered all flags to be taken down and to go back to work and work under the contract. Dolores came out and demanded that all of the U.S. flags be put back up and be displayed or else. And I stopped all the work and said, okay, then we are not working at all. So it wasn't a standpoint of trying to solve a problem after the contract was signed. It was far worse after the contract was signed because of the power of the union than it was before. Consequently, it was then the decision made by Purex to get out of the business of agriculture, sign the contract, and quit.
Now, Well, looking at it the other way, if people like Caesar, as you say, who wanted a real union had prevailed, do you think they could have established a relationship with Purix that would have allowed that?
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah, oh yes, absolutely. I don't think that Purix Corporation or United were non-union companies. They had companies all through their own other businesses. It was a standpoint that they wanted labor peace because they signed the contract. All they got was labor war.
Okay, let's stop for a minute. How are we on this magazine?
329.
Okay, one more on this one. We're chugging through these things.
This is take five, Marker.
Talk to us a little bit more about these differences of approach between Caesar and Dolores. Who were you dealing with and what kind of union was it?
Well, I think that was the bigger problem. Caesar was more dealing with the political side of it, the Kennedys and the money that was required and not the day-to-day operation of the field. Dolores Huerta was dealing with the field. And that's where the problem was, obviously, was in the field. And whether or not Caesar could control Dolores, I question. But there's no question that Caesar was not involved in the field. He would have come out to the fields when all of the problems were over and was not involved when the problems were going on.
Yeah. Now that brings up another interesting thing. You remember Caesar was in jail, and all of a sudden, Ethel Kennedy shows up in town. What do you folks think about that?
Well, obviously, it was strictly political.
When Ethel came out
and to see him in jail, I think Robert Kennedy came out too. I believe. I'm not sure.
Ethel.
Just Ethel.
Yeah, start over here.
Okay. When Ethel came out, obviously, it was strictly.
Let's reload this. Yeah, let's change.
We're changing to camera roll. That was camera roll 136. We're changing to camera roll 137. Next up, Daryl Arnold, take six.
This is take six. Marker.
So talk to us a little bit about what it would be like to sit down and talk with Caesar as opposed to what it would be like to try and sit down and talk with Dolores.
Well, when I talked to Caesar, and I think I alluded to that earlier, that with Caesar, I think he was torn between a trade union and this social and trying to work both ends. Consequently, when I'd sit down with Caesar, we'd talk about the trade union, talk about the unionization, talk about how I felt that if they're going to expect other people to go into the United Farm Workers, they had to protect those contracts that they were and go after the people that were not in contract. The total opposite was Dolores. Dolores, the one she hated most, I think, were those people that signed the contract because she felt she could control them then. She had them, and she was going to dominate them, and it was going to be the people's union, not a trade union. And that was a total difference. You couldn't talk to Dolores. She always was very mad because I would not sit down and debate Dolores. I said, you want number two? I'll give you number two. You want me to debate? I'll debate Caesar and nobody else. And that made her very unhappy that I wouldn't debate a woman.
But you must have been sort of puzzled by this. You know, but aren't we talking about unions? And did you think that was what?
Well, we thought that's where it stood up. But I said originally, because of the union, because of where I was, the far right wing was trying to get into my act. I said, hey, I'm not trying to get into the act of fight against unionization. I'm fighting for the growers to be able to live under a contract, a union contract. And there's no question in my mind that Caesar did a lot to help the farm worker.
Talk a little bit about that. How do you think, what effect did he have?
Caesar had, I think, great effect. He increased the wages. He increased the working conditions. He did great things. Dolores killed the farm worker movement, in my estimation, because nobody could live under the contract, and they lost all their contracts, what they were fighting to get. But the farm workers came out better even today with our non-union, they're far above any other farm workers, I think, probably in the country, because of what Caesar and the United Farm Workers did.
Now, let's switch gears a little bit. Tell me what you thought when you heard Ethel Kennedy was coming to visit Caesar in jail.
Okay, when Ethel Kennedy was going to come visit Caesar in jail, obviously we knew strictly what it was. It was strictly a political move. And if anything Caesar had, it was charisma for politics and raising money and doing that in. That's where I said earlier that he was outside doing his thing, raising huge amounts of money and bringing in politicians and the Catholic Church, and he did a great job of bringing those people in. So Ethel Kennedy was nothing more than another political move for the Kennedys' political advancement, in my estimation.
But it also was part of how Caesar manipulated or treated the media, right?
Well, sure, he did a good job of manipulating.
Start over again, say Caesar.
Caesar did a good job of manipulating the union. For instance, if he could...
Hang on a second, you said Caesar manipulated the union. Caesar.
I'm sorry. Okay. Caesar manipulated the press and the political figures when he would go out into a field. They had already rushed through the field, got the workers out, now standing on the side of the field. Then they'd let Caesar come and show the charisma of the nonviolent situation. We have enough proof over everything that it was not a nonviolent movement on either side.
Do you think he personally was nonviolent?
Yes. I think Caesar was personally a nonviolent person, and I think that's the way he wanted to leave it. However, again, and I'm talking about other people on the other side, they were certainly not nonviolent.
Let's cut for a second.
Let's follow up on that. I mean,
yeah.
I want to hear it.
Yeah.
Daryl Arnold takes seven up.
Caesar was nonviolent. Was the farm workers' movement nonviolent?
Oh, absolutely, the farm workers' movement was not nonviolent. But Caesar, I think, was nonviolent. The problem you're into is that when there was only a strike when you had unhappy workers. So unhappy workers in one field would not necessarily be other fields. The only way that Caesar could get the worker, not Caesar, I'm talking about the United Farm Workers, could get the workers out of the field was to get unhappy workforce and then rush the other fields to get the workers out of the field to stop working, and so they'd be too scared to go back in and work again. So there was a difference between where Caesar, I think, wanted to be and some of his goon squads, and Teamsters had goon squads too, so I'm certainly not deluding either one. The only way I could protect those working in the field was make the growers recognize that they were going to rush the fields and for them to go out and stand there in the fields themselves, which then would the workers would feel better about being working.
You pointed out some of the lessons that you think the farm workers union should have learned. What do you think, in general, the industry farmers learned from the process of dealing with this unionization?
A lot, and I think that was what was good, the farming. There was no question that the farmers learned a lot from the United Farm Workers effort. They found out how to deal with their workers and with the unions. They found out that they had to give the workers a voice. They found out that they should have somebody, a worker, true worker in the field that could come in and give grievances to them to what their problems were to solve it. It wasn't always dollars. It wasn't always money. It might be where the restrooms were. It might be the working hours. It could be the piece rate. It could be a lot of things other than just salary. Obviously, salary is one big thing. But I think what Caesar did and the United Farm Workers did was make the workers more a part of the company that was hiring them, working together. And I think if you look at all unions around the United States today, I think you'll find, I think, for instance, like United Airlines has done, where actually they own part of the company, or Chrysler Corporation. I think I told you that Doug Frazier became a very close friend of mine, head of United Auto Workers. We had long talks about the United Farm Workers and where they should have gone and what they, how they should have done it. And I think the Chrysler's Union probably, or Chrysler and United Auto Workers proved the point.
Let me ask you one other question, too. California is really interested in this stuff. You were part of the industry. You're interested in it. Why do you think this is an important story for the whole country?
Well, I think it's an important story for the whole country because California has probably been more involved, certainly in the unionization of farm workers, than anywhere else in the United States. Maybe if the story would be told that some growers, and I'm talking against my industry, but some growers deserve unionization. Other ones do not, because they're probably equal to or doing better than the union contracts do. But that is true in every industry. It is agribusiness now. It is not just agriculture. And once the growers across the United States recognize and realize that it becomes agribusiness and you better recognize it as such, I think the country will be better off, and certainly the farm workers will be better off.
And begin treating it like a business.
And be treating like a business. Treating agriculture as a business as you negotiate with your contracts. We probably have more contracts in agriculture in California, in the packing houses, truck drivers, on and on and on, than maybe any other state in the union. And we certainly get along just fine with those unions in negotiations.
Because the old model was the farmer had his little world, and it was his empire, and he controlled it, and no one was going to tell him what to do. And that's changed, hasn't it?
Well, it has absolutely changed. They've changed in the world of farmers. They have treated farmers altogether different, withholding, for instance, on income tax. There's no reason today that the farm workers shouldn't be withheld on income tax.
I think we've covered everything. Do you have any final thoughts?
Next year's Daryl Arnold, take 8.